Welcome to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. We are back again on another week where the Eagles put it all together, but it's a special week because this time we're coming in as NFC champs and the number one seed in the NFC, people. So before we get into talking about it, let's celebrate a little bit and throw it back to when the Eagles were on Thursday Night Football and do a fly, Eagles fly for these guys. That was a great night. That was the night where the mainstream media said that we struggled against the Texans. I looked at it as a pretty convincing win. They ran on us pretty well in the first half, and then the Eagles shut them down. But that was a great celebration afterwards. Eagles didn't. They kind of knew what they had there, but we never knew it was going to come to this. 14 wins, a franchise record. The Eagles beat the Giants on Sunday, 22-16. Not a completely convincing win, but we'll get into that. And they are the number one seed in the NFC East. But what is big is not only being NFC East champions, beating everybody out, winning the division, which is always awesome. It's the 14 wins. Never did that before. Of course, now we have, you know, a 17-game season. The Eagles have had 13-win seasons before, but this was the first time of 14. So it's kind of special. Back then, we didn't know, you know, the Eagles, I think at that point, we're kind of convinced that they were going to have a great season, but you know, but the fact that the Commanders and the Texans ran on them in back-to-back weeks, it convinced them to go out and get Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. And now, I mean, those guys have become staples of the run defense, you know, not so much in the realm of pressure in the quarterback, but that's not what they're there for. They're there to stop that run. And I think that the Eagles have done really well against the run for most part. Over the last few weeks, they did really well in Dallas against the run, but overall the team coming into this Giants game. And by the way, thank you for everybody joining us on the live stream, whether it's YouTube Live, Facebook or Twitch. And also thank you to all our regular podcast listeners, whether you're on Spotify, Apple Music or Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Podcaster, Castro and so many others. So Lee here with Tubby, but look, going into that game, like I was saying, it was a rocky road. It was a bumpy road. You know, we had our quarterback goes down after the hit in Chicago, and Minshew played admirably in Dallas, but played absolutely pathetically at home against New Orleans the following week. Didn't show the kind of zip on the ball and the spark that he kind of had in Dallas. The whole team in that New Orleans game looked flat. In the Dallas game, they looked like they were ready to play. The defense just gave up a lot of points, and we had all those crazy turnovers, four turnovers, and you can't win a game like that. So going into this Giants game, it was a must win to get that number one seed. If the Eagles, we talked about it in the preview, if the Eagles were going to do anything in the playoffs, they really needed that bye week. They could not turn around and play this Sunday or Saturday or Monday. It just wasn't going to be viable to get Lane Johnson out there, maybe Avante Maddox, Josh Sweat. Jalen Hurts is still banged up. To get all that and to beat the Giants was a must win. And they played it because the Giants, and we talked about that, the Giants were going to be playing their second string and third string. They didn't want to play their starters. There was no point in it for them. So that was nice. But against the second and third string, the Eagles looked pretty good, especially in the first three quarters, but not so great toward the end. And not so great overall. It was just a weird performance from what we expect as far as a win, especially since we beat this team like 42 just a few weeks ago, and then we struggle against their backups. It just seemed off. But when all is said and done, they got the win. They got the number one seed, in the and they are NFC champions. I put into your breakdown, Tubby. The NFC Championship T-shirts are out. The hats, we got D Slay showing it right there. I have ordered mine. I know that that's we want more than that. And also looking at the NFC champion East champions by the years, it's just crazy that no team is repeated as NFC champions, NFC East champions since 2004. That's insane. So Dallas wins it last year. Washington the year before that. Eagles had it in 2019. Last time the Giants have had it, if you go back to 2011. So that's kind of crazy. So, but it is the Eagles this year. No repeat for Dallas. Crazy stuff. The game itself, I know that, like, say, going into half, they were up 16 to nothing. Had to settle for a lot of field goals. Had the one boss. What was your impression of watching this game? Did it seem as weird to you as it did to me?
You know, I think it leading up to the game, I did everything a little bit differently. You know, I just knew that I wasn't going to get too up for this game. I knew we needed the number one seed. I knew that they were starting their second and third string guys. And hell, for like once, I never watched the game in the bed. I'm always watching it in the same spot, doing the same thing, you know, arms in the same position, you know, but right. I was so different about this game that I watched it in the bed. I never watched the game in the ever. And I guess I was just like the Eagles were on Sunday. I was just like, let's get through it. You know, but to be honest, man, I was pretty annoyed. It was just an annoying game because you know what your team can do. You've seen what they did to the number one for the Giants, but, it became very early on that we were just going to get the most simplistic version of the Eagles that they could put out there, at least from an offensive standpoint. And I think that's why, remember when Jalen, you know, I think it was the second down, he rolls out and he slides like way early, you know, third and two, and you go, what? Did you just slide that early? And you knew, oh, he's not interested in getting touched. Forget hit. He's not interested in getting touched. And then I think once, and then what sealed it for me was when, remember, he got that soft, rough in the passer calls. It was kind of soft, but it was like cheap. I think what the ref wanted to say today, I think when Jalen slid early, I think the refs looked at him and said, okay, this is how you're going to play today. So this is how we're going to protect you today. You know, if you're not going to be running the RPOs and these guys don't know if you have the ball or not, and you're doing all this trickeration, we're going to let you get hit, Jalen, because this is part of your game. And I think that's why he got that really soft rough in the passer call, because the ref saw him slide 2 yards early. You go, okay, this guy doesn't want to get hit today, so we're just going to officiate it like that. And I liked the pass in the rough in the passer call, because it was, we know what he was trying to do. It was just cheap. He was just trying to just hit for no reason, just touch him out of frustration because they hadn't got to him yet. You know, sometimes you can frustrate the defense because he's throwing the ball way earlier than he normally throws it. Just everything was just like set, first read's not there, throw it out of bounds or something. It was just like, take no hits. We don't want you scrambling. We don't want you running around. If it's not there, we're just going to live with it. The only drive where I was just annoyed was when he threw the pick. I was like, come on, Jalen. I understand you're playing a throttled down style today. I know you don't even want to get touched. And I keep emphasizing the touch part, because that affects your whole game, bro. Because even when you're throwing the slant, you know, a quarterback has to stand in there and make those tough throws. Now you're not even interested in throwing the slant because you don't want to stay in there. You notice they threw everything to the outside. Almost every pass was like outside, a little sprinkle to AJ across the middle, but just outside. That's because they just want Jalen to turn to one side, see if you got one, two, throw it. If it doesn't work, we'll sort it out. So I took them for that. I think once I saw how they were going to play the game, I couldn't, I guess, judge them on the same full powered let's go Eagles. So I was just more so annoyed with like the interception, because I'm like, man, that could have put you up 3 scores. There's just, you haven't done that all year. Why now? Like, you know, you literally, even the commentators say, like, you know, it's uncharacteristic of Jalen. He's been throwing the ball away. I mean, you come in with 5 picks. So, I mean, you can, you know, that shows you haven't been careless with the football. So I was a little bit annoyed, but I think I was telling myself, look, man, you know, 14 wins is hard to get in the NFL. No matter how you get them, be very grateful. I just want to be very grateful for this season because my team just went 14-3. And I know they've never won 14 games before. And even with the additional game to the season, I'm like, well, shit, man, the Eagles were 14-1. We could have did this even earlier.
Right.
Against the Saints, you know, under the same, you know, making it impressive under the same amount of games, basically. We could have did it in 16 games, honestly. Exactly. You know, in a normal 17-game season, we could accomplish that in, you know, 16 games. So, yeah, man, once I felt like it was a shell of the offense, and I think I talked to you about the T.J. Edwards hit on, like, I think it was fourth down or third down.
Yeah,
he comes didn't in make a bad angle.
Yeah,
he comes in at a bad angle. But my whole point was, you got the you saw that he wasn't trying to light him up. They're just trying to. It's like they all just like just get to the bye week. Let's just get to the bye week. You know, nobody wanted to get injured, man. And I think that's how a lot of these guys played. Just don't get injured because every game for the last four or five games, we've lost a key player.
Exactly.
Every time we've stepped on the football field. I think these guys were like, look, they're going to play their B squad. We're going to do apps. We're going to sleepwalk through this game. If we have to turn it on, we will. But if we don't, we won't. And we're just going to meh this game, big M-E-H, meh, and take this bye week, go in there happy. And, yeah, so I was a bit annoyed by certain things, like even the Slate. I was just annoyed by certain things. Like, come on, Slate, turn around, knock the ball down. Like, come on, big dog.
But that was frustrating. But again,
it was like Galladay's a bum all of a sudden as well.
Right, so I'm
like,
no,
Kenny Galladay, still Kenny Galladay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still a starter. He was one of the few starters that did play for the Giants. Like, say, no Barkley, not even Tyrod Taylor. You know, they tried out there. They tried out Davis Webb, almost said Davis Mills, but they tried out Davis Webb, who was on the practice squad. And other teams were looking at signing him just for depth on put on their practice squad. So we get a practice squad quarterback out there. The one thing I'll say about Webb is that he didn't go down easy like a lot of quarterbacks. He would sit there and fight and didn't care because he had nothing to lose. And that's a dangerous quarterback to be facing. This is a guy that is his opportunity. So we can't discount that and say that this guy didn't come in and say, hey, look, I'm going to try to throw it up whenever I get a chance. And when he's in the grasp, he's just whipping it downfield. And there was a few that he nearly completed. And they were wide open for him to get the enough on the ball because he was being in the grasp by the Eagles defense. But the thing about the Edwards play, which happened later on in the game, when the Giants started to get rhythm going, Gannon went into the shell because they had a 19-3 lead. I mean, they had a cushy lead. You're great. And Gannon does what Gannon does. It's very frustrating when he's got four down linemen and everybody 10 yards off the ball, like five guys. That is not a defense. I am sorry, because you can throw anything you want underneath. And that's exactly what was happening. You had guys going out, doing button hook routes, and being able to catch the ball, and then the Eagles just keep tackling them, and they're moving down the field. That's what led to the Galladay touchdown. And on that play, I think it's Cager is the name of the tight end. He gets the ball short of the first down, and I'm pretty sure it was C.J. Gardner-Johnson that had him, was holding him up. And Edwards just takes a bad angle. Like you said, he just didn't even really – it didn't have that intensity, like, I'm going to pop you.
Exactly.
It was really weird.
2 weeks ago, TJ would have took his head off.
Yeah,
He's teed up. I think that's why I was so annoyed, because I'm like, he's teed up. You're coming in here not trying to tee. You're not trying to blast him. He came in kind of soft. He came in kind of reaching. Bro, 9 times out of 10, when the linebacker sees somebody's teed up, they kill him. They kill him. Come downhill and just drive him. And you just saw TJ really do none of that. And I was just annoyed by that. Like, man, TJ, knock his fucking helmet off. Not literally, but come up and hit him, man. Like, I know you can. You have 140-plus tackles this season. You can tackle, bro.
Well, like you said, it was strange. It was actually an interesting day all around the league. I'm just going to look at some images real quick. Before the game, we had this wonderful image of Miles Sanders and his buddy. I did not know he was close to DeMar Hamlin, that he grew up with him. They played high school ball against each other. So he was on the FaceTime call with, this is just a great image, with DeMar in the hospital, holding up the three, And then Miles saying a prayer for his buddy on the sideline. It was very emotional start. Mm-hmm. You had other images. I loved this. Jalen walking into the arena. That t-shirt is strategic. There's no, that's the Jordan I'm back from the newspaper headline. Wow. And Jalen coming in hot. Wow. He was making a statement that that's what he was going to do. And he knew he was back, and he knew that after sitting 2 weeks out and watching Minshew, I don't want to say stink up the joint, because he definitely didn't stink it up, but he didn't play great against the Saints. And I think Jalen at that point was like, look, this guy's going to come in, and nothing against Minshew. It's just he's going to come in and he's going to ruin what we started. I have to play in this game. And you're right. He played tentative, but he did just enough to win. They started out, you know, with the great play to A.J. Brown, which we want to mention real quick. The play to A.J. Brown here real quick was very significant, because all he needed was 4 yards at that point to break Mike Quick's record for most receiving yards in a season, franchise record. So A.J. Brown at that point gets it. He only needed 4 at the time. He had 1436, finished with 1496, which said was disappointing because he wanted 1500 even. He said he fell 4 yards short of his goal. But here's AJ with Mike Quick after the game. And Mike Quick, of course, you know, is an Eagles with Merrill Reese. I grew up, that was when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite players, was Wilbert Montgomery at running back, Moron Jaworski at quarterback, and Mike Quick, you know, at wide receiver. Those were my three favorite Eagles as a youngster. Granted, I grew up in the 70s. So by the 80s, these were the guys who were running things. So Keith Jackson was another favorite, but he wasn't in that team. But just an amazing the play for the Eagles. They get it down the field. One of the things that was just, I have to say, it's kind of annoying to me, is if you've got Hurts out or, you know, coming back from an injury and he's, you know, he's sore, you know, he has got issues. So, and you're playing against a team that's not great against the run, but they're pretty good against the pass, even though it's backups. I thought in the first half they relied on the pass ways too much.
Oh, yeah.
And that first drive, they get down to the 16-yard line, and they don't run Miles for anybody once. It's three passes. At 1 2-yard pass and 2 incomplete passes. So they have to settle for a field goal. And I'm like, that makes no sense to me. None. It's just like the Saints game when you ran Sanders 12 times, you know. And some people have said maybe Sanders is banged up a little bit, so they've got him on a pitch. I'm not so sure. I mean, that's just rumor, but a lot of people are speculating that maybe Sanders needs a rest. So that's why we saw a little bit more Boston Scott. I think we saw more Scott because he's the Giant killer, and that's he gets it for some reason. He gets up for the Giant game so well. And the same was true in this one. Defense played great the first quarter, forcing 3 and outs. Eagles get the ball back second drive, and it looked like it was on with the really crisp drive down the field, everything working, and get the Boston Scott touchdown, which was a nice little, I think I got a picture of it here. This is just a nice little, reminded me of the Elway dive into the end zone where he got twisted around and landed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he made some moves. He busted his way through, and the Eagles go up 10-3 right off the bat. And at that point, I was feeling really, really good. Things, like I said, we talked about it, got weird, but it really got out of hand. It was just frustrating for the fact that we had to keep settling for field goals, and you go into half just up 16-0, and you're like, well, they're still in this game in the second half. Mm-hmm. We don't like that at all. So it was frustrating from that standpoint. And again, when it was 19-3, it was still, you know, felt comfortable. And then, like I said, in the fourth quarter, Gannon just decided to do what he does. When we've got almost a 20-point lead, he goes completely into prevent mode. And I would, you know, smack him in the head and tell him to stop. But I guess in this game, too, it was like, look, we've got this lead. They're not really going to try. But these guys were really trying.
They were.
These guys were playing as best as they could because this was their opportunity. Matt Breida is a former top running back in the league when he was with not top, but he was a starting running back in the league with the 49ers. You don't think that he wants a shot, you know, and you know, you got these other guys that were out there that were giving it their all.
Yeah, man.
So I was kind of, Yeah, go ahead.
It kind of paused a little bit. I was just picking up, but we need a nickname for Bart Scott. I know they try to give him the Grogu nickname and stuff last year, but he is synonymous with playing really well against the Giants. Onto that Sanders injury, man, he may be on to something, but I thought Sanders looked normal this past game. I thought he looked normal. I thought all three backs, you know, ran the ball pretty well. I thought even Gainwell ran the ball again. You know, back-to-back weeks when they needed him to do something, he did his job for the most part. You know, sometimes I do give him a little slack when he gets stuffed and pushed back because he is so small. So he does need at least a gap, you know, to get going because he's not just going to power. He's not Derrick Henry. He's not going to force his will on the defense. You know what I mean? I thought it should have been a lot more like if you weren't going to run the ball, maybe dump it off to the running back a little bit more or something like that. I saw no reason to run the ball. Pass the ball, be so pass happy when you don't want Jalen to get hit and he ends up throwing the ball like 30 something, almost 40 times on a sore shoulder. So it's like,
right,
dude, like I didn't want Jalen to throw the ball. Once I knew he still wasn't 100%, I'm like, man, just run the ball. And then if we need you on the 3rd and 6 or something like that, make that play. But other than that, if you're not going to play him to his full potential, maybe this is why I didn't even want him to play at all, because I didn't want to be annoyed at how he played, you know, on a reserve basis. You know, like I said, when he slid, I was just like, oh shit, we're not even going to get Jalen this game. You know, just what are we going to get? You know, so. Yeah, man, you know, definitely the strength is in his ability to do both. And when he did run the ball a few times, you kind of see it did unsettle the defense again. Like, oh, like they didn't know, you know, a couple times he did kind of break out. But other than that, man, I think we just slept walk through this game. I think they just really, really, really wanted to get out of there without injuries. Like you said, you got C.J. Gardner's first game back. So he was just trying to get some reps, really, to get ready because they have a whole week off. But They've earned this week, man. They've really earned everything this year. When you go to battle like the Eagles did for the entire season, they balled out the whole season, man. And once they gained confidence, you know, they just kind of kept it on. So, you know, they've earned this week off. I hope they rest up, man. Spend some time with your family. It's a long season. I can't imagine going through a 18-week, you know, plus season and just finally get a little break. I'm sure they'll come in. You know, did you see that report on Jalen? Like the next day, like, hey, don't worry about coming in. And he called up Sirianni and Stetson and was like, no, I'll meet you there at 12 tomorrow. We got to look at some stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because maybe he walked away from the game too. Like, we need to talk about some stuff before we get in the playoffs. Something isn't. But that's still good that your starting quarterback is calling a meeting with the coach. Like, Sirianni thought he was going to be on this boat. Out there in the Delaware River, and he gets a text from Jalen. He's just like, yeah, Jalen, I'll come in and watch film with you on this week off that I'm supposed to have. But anyway, man, I just wanted to be really happy and appreciative of the season that the Eagles had because we're number one. There's nothing better. That's the best you can ask for in the regular season. They did the best you can ask for in the regular season.
Right.
That is check. Number one seed. You know, wins aren't easy to come by. Ask the Packers if wins are easy to come by. Ask the Packers if the Lions are a pushover, you know, because we beat them, no big deal. They stopped the Packers going to the playoffs. That's huge. It's huge. So yeah, man, wins aren't, you know, interceptions happen. You see the great ones, even though Aaron Rodgers, couple hot dog picks out there, and the one that got called back, he got lucky on one. He just threw a straight. Punt. It was like a punt. He threw it just right. Defender was even like, oh my God, this ball is coming right to me. He just wasn't in the game. He never seemed locked in all year. But anyway, we're not talking about the Packers. Just talking about guys that didn't make it. No. Just talking about things that happened around the league and just how hard wins are to come by when you have these greats. You know, Tom Brady had his first losing season because wins aren't just easy. You know, right. And I'm just trying to make the point for the Eagles. You got this Bucs team with all these really good players, a bit older now. But they're still really good players, and they still had a losing season. And you can't even say that about the Eagles last year. They
didn't. No. So, the Eagles were 9-8 last year, and the Bucks. I mean, they still made the playoffs, but that's because somebody had to win that garbage division down in the NFC South. But you said a lot of good things.
Come in the playoffs and run the table, because
you never know.
That's also football. Do I think so? I don't. They look pretty beat up. I think if you hit Brady at least twice, he'll be done for it. So you got to almost sacrifice at least a couple roughing the passes just to get Brady up out of there, or at least getting rattled, really pissed off at 45. But
right,
it's good to sit back and see who we play next week, man.
Exactly, exactly. And we'll talk a little bit before this show is over about the playoff matchups for this week, and we'll kind of give our little predictions on that. Since the Eagles are not involved, we can say whatever we want. But interesting, like you said, we have some really good teams in the NFC. But if you look up and down the division, there's two that stand out. And the Eagles have to be given credit as the number one seed. And the 49ers coming on late. Everybody else is kind of really stumbled in. Now, the Eagles, you could say, have stumbled in. But mainly that was due to injury. If Jalen doesn't get hurt against Chicago, we don't know how things turn out. The Eagles may be resting their starters against the Saints. They may go into Dallas and win. We don't know. But this is the way it turned out. And for me, I'm kind of, I don't want to say I was not happy the last 3 weeks. Let's be honest. My Christmas Eve was ruined. My New Year's Day was ruined. But now I'm kind of happy that they've got this number one seed and their starters played, this week. And they've got some game action in and are ready to go. Because, and then to piggyback on your day off thing, Jalen got done with that game and said, okay, I may not be 100% healthy, but there are things I can do. We can have time off when the season's over. This is still his goal, is to win this championship. And I admire that. I don't know too many other quarterbacks that would say, I'm coming in tomorrow and we got to do this. And it's what you should be doing if you're serious about winning a championship. And he is. That's why I love the guy. That's why I work ethic from day one. He's just won me over with everything he's done from the time he took over for Wentz until now. I've never wavered on this guy as far. You could check the tape from last season, the things that I said about Jalen Hurts from then to now, and it's never changed. So I think, like with the interception, that was kind of a bad play all around, because the Eagles come out of half up 16-0 and they get the ball first, and it is a really, really good drive. But the problem is they get all the way down to the goal line and we get the ineligible man downfield on Dickerson. The ball was inside the 2 yard line.
TD called back.
Yeah, the ball was inside.
TD called back.
Yeah, yeah. The ball was inside the two, and homeboy was standing at the goal line. Now, granted, that's more than 1 yard downfield, but Dickerson was like, come on, man. Seriously. He's like, I moved 1 yard.
Right.
And so to me, it was a really chintzy call.
It was.
I could understand if he'd have been in the end zone. Dude wasn't even in the end zone. He was standing at the goal line. Mm-hmm. He stopped himself at the goal line. And they called back the touchdown to Devontae Smith. So the very next play, I think it was just go to the same thing. And because it was the same route, Devontae Smith was in the same spot. But this time the Giants are there. And I think that
a lot of them.
Jalen, frustrated at having the touchdown call back, rushing to get the same play called again. And next thing you know, they're there. They're ready for it. And they pick him off. He underthrows it. So it was a bad look. I think if they get the touchdown there, this game would have been over. And then I think Jalen would have been out in the fourth quarter. It wouldn't have mattered. Right. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. And Jalen ends up, having to stay in the game for the whole game. We end up getting two more field goals. And let's just talk about, to me, I mentioned to you, is Jake Elliott, who has set a franchise record for him, 101 points on the season, which is amazing. And 5 for 5 field goals, 250 plus yarders on the day. And Jake Elliott, I tell you what, when we need somebody to step up, he stepped up. And 5 for 5 is something he's never done in his career. So that was huge. So you got to give a lot of love to Jake Elliott, because I think this was, what we've loved about this Eagles team is that everybody's had some time to shine. Everybody's had their day. Jalen's had his day. AJ's had his day. Today was really Jake Elliott's day. those 50-yard field goals, without them, we don't win this game probably, right, because they give up two touchdowns. The touchdown to Davis Webb running up the middle untouched is ridiculous. And so the touchdown annoying. To Golladay was just ridiculous as well. Just the fact that we let him come all the way down the field at the end of the game. And I said to you, when the Giants got the ball back, I said, here, we're going to see if Gannon can close a game out. Nope, he cannot. He just played the same old vanilla defense, same shell stuff, let him come all the way down. That was, to me, I wanted to see Gannon call the right plays and be aggressive, because he gave up a touchdown anyway. What benefit did it do you to let them dink and dunk their way down the field? But it's Gannon's philosophy. He didn't give up the big play. Well, yeah, you did. You gave one up to Golladay. So, you know, it's just, that's the only thing that really concerns me going in. I've said it before and I'll say it again, is what is Gannon going to call on defense when we have to play against a good team?
Yeah, I'm going to play a bit of devil's advocate here. Just, I'm not a JG fan, but you know, man, I must admit the last, you know, when I see Slay or Bradberry having to track downfield, sometimes bad things happen, man. I've noticed a lot of our interceptions have come from our guys coming downhill more so, or like maybe like a floater or something like that, but our guys are coming downhill. They're making the play, like the Blankenship play on Rodgers. He's coming downhill. The CJ Gardner, a lot of his is they're coming down to make a play. When our guys have to play with their backs to the quarterback, man, Slay has been suspect. The third and 30 was sus. I'm not going to try to argue that over again. Sus. You're 20 plus yards downfield, bro. You're still claiming a 5 yard under. Stop it. Some point you have to just guard the player in front of you. So Slay has been sus, man. He's been suspect. He went to Golladay. He's there. He turns and looks and he just kind of misses the swipe. But my thing is, push Golladay the hell out of bounds. Like, it's all those little things. He's right there. I mean, do something, man. It's just, so, man, sometimes I'll be honest with you, man. Sometimes I think Gannon's just like, look, you guys are, you think it's bad underneath. Wait until you see this team's be able to just throw the ball deep. And we've been beat deep a lot of times. You think about the games when it's happened. Christian Kirk, when he hit us for that big play. I forgot old buddy. I think it was Samuels for the Redskins hit us, for the Commanders hit us with a big play. You got the Golladay. You have the T.Y. Hilton. It can just like happen to any, just do these big plays on us and you're just like, wow. And it's, a lot of times it's not just the safety coverage. It's a corner on the job. Right. We talk about man, Slay had man up Golladay. Unless you're going to tell me that was, you know, a deep, you know,
no, he
you're
was
playing
on
a cover four. Yeah. It looked like man. All right, we're telling right. You got all pro. Just stick a guy who hasn't had a good season all year. It was a hell of a catch. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like, but still, it's just like, we want you to make a play there. You know, get off Twitter and see how you can stop Golladay. And that's just my thing. When you talk a lot and you haven't been backing it up per se, mind you, Slay dropped a pick in there. Remember he came down and overshot it and, you know, tried to go for the pick six and missed it. Those are plays. Those are pretty suspect. You want to talk about suspect? We can't just keep giving somebody a pass because of their resume and just how the overall record has been doing. But a few times this year, man, Slay has not been interested in tackling. He's not made very good coverage plays. A lot of times they go away from him. And this defensive line has bailed these guys out for the most part of this year, man. Damn near almost set an NFL record. Because that's how much work they put in. If you take half of those sacks off the board, I think the Eagles have a worse record, and I think our corners aren't on Twitter as much because they've had to work just that much harder. So I don't know, man. It was a couple plays in that game where I thought Slay, you know, could have done a lot better. And that missed pick six, you just can't do it. You just can't do it, bro. If I told Ish, so if you make that break, you have to intercept the ball or knock it down. You cannot miss the football. You can't, because it's a selfish play. Nobody teaches that. They teach you to stay in a good position. So that's an individual play where you go, okay, I'm special. I'm going to go make a play. And when you do, when you miss it, it makes your defense look horrible because there's nobody behind you. So, you know, just certain things like that. I think Bradberry is playing a little bit better at this part of the season than Slay is. I think Blankenship is playing good, but he's going to, they laughed at him when he got ran over by Webb. You know, he got ran smooth over for that touchdown on Webb. And remember, he got hurt because he got ran over. Remember that, it was a quarterback. I don't know who we were playing. I want to say Dallas. Was it against Dallas when he got hurt? Did he get hurt against? No, it was before that. Tannehill or something hit him, and he tried to tackle Tannehill. But these quarterbacks have been putting it on old young Blankenship. He's a good cover guy. He can tackle. But I wonder what it is about the quarterback that he just won't come up and knock his teeth out, man. It's just so weird because he's a solid player, and he's a rookie.
I think on that play, he got caught out a little flat-footed, but because he does try to come up in certain situations. He was flat-footed, and he got.
I mean, you watched the quarterback come like this. You watched the quarterback from the safety spot. You got the best seat in the house, right? You go, bang, and ran you right in your face. Punched you right in your mouth, ran you over, and scored, man. But I'm not. I'm just clowning a little bit. You know, when they get in that film room, you got ran over by the quarterback, man. nobody wants that. Practice squad guy. Overall, have some concerns.
If the next quarterback plays.
Oh, it got choppy. Go ahead.
Yeah, it did. I was going to say, what's quarterback pays for that when Reed Blankenship gets out of that film or goes. Yeah. But the thing is, the play was, it wasn't the most convincing win in the world, but it is a win. It is a dub. They are the number one seed. I think it's going to help them in the long run. We can't deny that. I like the fact that Reed was playing safety and CJ was playing slot. It was the right call in that situation. We got Josiah Scott off the field. I think if we see Avon back, we may see less of Reed Blankenship if he does come back. The good thing is that everything is on the table right now. We've been told today by Sirianni that even Josh Sweat is on the table to be able to play in a couple weeks. So he just had that bad neck injury against the Saints, had to go to the hospital for it. So Josh Sweat could play. We know that Lane Johnson's going to try to get out there play, and we may get Avante Maddox back. I thought Robert Quinn played decent. He wasn't Josh Sweat, but at least he kept his side of the field when he was in there. We saw him a couple times. That was the first I'd ever seen him make a stop, on a run play. So I was like, oh, we got a Quinn sighting. So that was good. And when he tried to pressure the quarterback and he nearly got a sack, that was impressive as well. But it is a win, and the Eagles are going to move on and watch this week, watch all the playoff games. They're not getting a lot of respect by the odds makers again, and justifiably so. I am not going to whine about this. Because the Eagles have not played great football over the last 3 weeks. Again, granted, Jalen Hurts hasn't been in there, but he didn't. He's still injured. So the odds right now on the Eagles, not bad. The they've slipped to fourth behind the 49ers, who is everybody's darling right now in the NFC. The Chiefs, of course, being the overwhelming favorite. I think the Bills might have been the favorite had they not been able to finish that game and had the number one seed. And the bye, but as it is, the Chiefs will get that number one seed. So we'll see how it transpires from there. I mean, I don't care about odds. I care about, going in there and winning games. And we don't know who we're going to play. Could be the Giants. It could be the Cowboys. It could be the Buccaneers. It's going to be one of the bottom teams. We know that because they're the number one seed. We'll just see when it comes out of it. Some real quick stats to run over. I just wanted to congratulate Devontae Smith and AJ Brown. That's just amazing here. Most catches in a season by a wide receiver in Philadelphia Eagles history. Devontae Smith, 95 now, the number one receiver with catches in now he's not the number one player. That's crazy. Still Zach Ertz, but Devontae Smith, wide receiver. Yeah. AJ Brown's tied Irving Fryer. His 88 that was done in 96, AJ Brown's tied it this year, which is just outstanding.
Before you move on that, what makes that last stat impressive is that you have AJ Brown. When Ertz got there, he was the only guy.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it was the year when we had Alshon Jeffries, but no, we never had an AJ Brown that is hogging up so many touches. How do you manage for a guy in AJ Brown with 88 catches, almost four yards short of 1500. And how did you still manage to come up with the stats that you have? And it goes back to when AJ came over there, they go, yeah, you guys got AJ and Devontae, but who's going to throw it to him? Well, apparently right. no quarterback in Eagles history has been able to throw it to him like they've been thrown to this season. And I'll just leave it at that, man. This is a good feat, man. A lot of good quarterbacks have come through Philadelphia, man. A lot of good quarterbacks. So this is a to break basically two passing records in the same season with, you know, you got tied with AJ, then you break it with Devontae. That's amazing. That's amazing, man. That's amazing. So kudos to the whole offense, man. The whole offense for you know, putting on a hell of a season.
I will challenge anyone in the league to tell me what team has a better receiving duo right now. Right. Cause you can talk about, you know, Jefferson and Thielen, but Thielen's not had a tremendous season this year. You can talk about CD Lamb, but who else? I mean, right. who else? Gallup? No. Gallup's not bad. I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying when you compare it to the year Devontae Smith right. and AJ Brown has had, I challenge anyone to give me a better receiving duo this year. They have been outstanding at the wideout position. Also, stat to acknowledge, Philadelphia Eagles are the first team in NFL history to secure a number one seed twice within 5 years with both different head coaches and different quarterbacks. Never happened in the history of the league. So that's a big kudos to them for that. On the news front, good news, bad news for me, the Texans have officially requested an interview with Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen and defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon. Also, that is now expanded. Shane Steichen has gotten an interview request from the Colts and the Broncos, I believe. So I'm not sure. I think it was the Broncos. But there's three teams interested in Steichen, and the Texans are interested in Gannon. I wouldn't like to see Steichen go away, especially considering how it may affect Jalen with the constant changing at offensive coordinator for him. I don't want to see that happen, but I hear Frank Reich is available. So we may, I don't know what goes on there. Yeah. And if Gannon goes, all signs point to Vic Fangio coming right in as the defensive coordinator. This is all in the off season too. Right, they can't hire anybody till the playoffs are over. Right, the thing about Fangio, I'm not really warm to that. He's the same. He runs that same shell. I want a more D'Amico Ryans type defensive coordinator. They're very hard to come by because everybody's running that damn shell. So it is what it is. Also want to give a shout out to our boy Dougie P. If you watched that game on Saturday, the Jaguars Titans, whoo, you almost didn't make it. The Titans, Titans sacked up and were playing some good ball until that fumble. And it was borderline incomplete pass too. Fumble recovery, return for a touchdown, and Doug Peterson with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who the Eagles beat and had a great game against in the deluge in the rain, is now the 2022 AFC South champion, and they're going to be going to the playoffs this weekend, starting their playoff run. So look at Dougie P's resume, man. 2016 nothing, but then 2017 a Super Bowl champ. 2018, they won the playoffs. 2019, NFC East champ. 2020 was the year Wentz really stunk it up and we put in Jalen Hurts. And then 2022, this guy wins just everywhere he goes. And let's be honest, that Jacksonville team is not filled with all-stars. They've got some decent players on defense, and but they gave up one of their running backs midway through the season. They got Trevor Lawrence, but man, to win a division is so hard in this league, regardless of what your record is. He's done it. It's a leadership and the way people love him. Another thing we want to mention is the Eagles with the win and the Saints losing another game. It has been locked in now. The Eagles will have a top 10 pick in the 2023 NFL draft. I think it is number 10. It's number 10. Yes. Yeah. So with their loss against Carolina, it would have been better had we beat New Orleans, but things didn't work out the way.
Isn't that crazy how you could have controlled your own pick and you blew it? But hey, yeah. It's whatever. That's water under the bridge at this point. Yeah, you blew it, man. So you know,
it went on this weekend.
Well, it's just choppy.
I was going to say, everything that happened this weekend was just off the chain nutty. There was so many crazy things. And one of the things that happened is really our Hell to the Nah segment for this weekend. So I just want to go into this real quick. So this here, and I hate to pick on Lovie because I love Lovie Smith. He's a good guy and he's a great defensive coach. And this meme that came up on the sports memory, it just made me laugh. Probably my biggest Bears win of my career is Lovie Smith playing, coaching for the Houston Texans when the Texans inexplicably did not need to win that game, had the number one draft pick. But I think Lovie knew he was fired and just went hell with it. Not only am I going to try to win this game, I'm going to try to get the 2-point conversion, which that's when they went for two, I was like, what? Do you not want the number one draft pick? I would have purposely missed the extra point just to see. Right. We could have tied you, but we didn't. We're going to keep. But he knew he was gone. He was a stopgap.
Yeah,
he was a stopgap. This was. You call it what you will. We could get into some really deep stuff with this.
Right.
But this was them bridging the gap with Deshaun Watson leaving, tanking for a year, and now they're going to bring in a regime in, and it may be Jonathan Gannon. I hope it's Jonathan Gannon.
You think so?
He was a top pick last year until the Miami Dolphins coach had the issues with the racism and the hiring process. And the Texans, I believe, had the contract ready to sign and went, oh, we better not sign another white boy. I just believe that.
You think so?
I honestly believe so, because Gannon was like on the top list. And so I think this was... To me, this was complete show by the Texans, one of the worst run franchises in the league. So I say Jonathan Gannon deserves him. But this is just my impression. This is just what I see. I
think D'Amico Ryans is really hot for that job, because I think he even played for the Texans, if I'm not mistaken.
But I've heard that he said, hell no, I'm not going.
Really?
Yes. He does not want to go.
That's a good point, because you have now it's become, I don't really know how to put it. Like, it's kind of get out there where all the sports media folks look, even, you know, heard a clip today from Stephen A. That just broadly said, if you're black, you don't want to go be a coach for the Texans. And I was like, holy shit. Like, that's, you know, from a person with that platform. Wow. That's pretty heavy to put that in the air. Like, that if you're a black coach, you go to Texans, you're a clown because of how they're going to teach you. You also don't want to do that as well, too. I do believe that your first point was true. Either Lovie knew he was fired and was just like, you know what? Forget you too. I'm sure that's not what he said, but forget you too. Because even in the press conference, you could just tell by looking at his face. He was like, look, these guys play all year to win. They don't come in. I can't go ask these guys to lose. He is old school. You know, them old school guys are not going to ask you. They can't find it in their soul to just tell you to go lose, because it's such a dangerous sport. And to ask somebody to go lose in such a violent, dangerous sport where these guys, you know, work their whole lives to get here, and to ask them to be less of themselves than they have their whole lives, man, sometimes it could be tough for anybody to play down. You know, some guys just go out there and they just play football like they've always have. So, but you're right. When he went for two, I was like, he's clowning right now. What are you doing, bruh? The only thing I can think of, he was just like, you know what? I'm not going to help you build this shit show around here. Basically give you the middle finger on the way out the door by giving you the second pick, which that shouldn't be that much of a game changer, because, you know, they say a tackle is going to come off first. They got a tackle. I think Willie Anderson for Bama, right. I think they're really high on. So it's like, if they needed a tackle, they don't even have a quarterback. So quarterback's still going to be there. So they must have were already going to fire Lovie anyway. But I didn't know D'Amico Ryan said hell no. But today I saw a lot of the pushback. I think RG3 said something. You just see a lot of guys with pushback. And I think that was D'Amico Ryan's job. I really do. Under most circumstances, you get D'Amico. It makes sense. He has rapport. You know, he's a former Texan. Just like Rabel was, and you send him back down there and you ball. I think Rabel went down there for a year before he retired. Anyway, so man, I don't know who's going to get that spot. But the Texans definitely, it's a bad look. Everything's still about a look. You're still running a business in business. Right. You still want your business to look good, you know, because all those things still are important. So, man, with the Deshaun Watson situation and everything that went down with that, which is no fault on the Texans. I mean, nothing Texans can do about that. I mean, what do you want them to do? But just the, you know, when the company has bad press, it's, you know, sometimes it's really, really bad. So with D'Amico Ryans, will end up somewhere. He may end up in Indy, but is definitely one of the hottest coaches out there. I've seen a few other that were hot, but going to our guys, Stetson, I do think Stetson deserves a job somewhere, because I do think he did a really good job with Jalen this year. The Bears may want him because Justin Fields had a similar season to Jalen last year, and they're just like, well, if Stetson can do it, you know, maybe we'll get him out there and see if he can, you know, have the same success from with Justin Fields as he did with Jalen Hurts. When it comes to Gannon, man, I'm not really sure if he's really that high up on people's list. I'm just not that sure, because collectively in the NFL, people have said if the Eagles are going to lose a playoff game, it's probably going to be because of their defense. And that's not a guy you just go and have lead your whole franchise when there are a lot of other coordinators out there that can play. My other concern is when I saw that Dable was a Jalen's offensive coordinator in college, I'm like, man, how many systems has Jalen played through? Like, seriously.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
How many systems? Sarkisian, I think, was down there. You got D-Ball down there. I'm like, yo, how many systems has this guy played through? Is it a coincidence that the only time he's played in back-to-back same systems, he's had ridiculous 14-1. He's only lost one game in a consistent system. Like, you know, that's pretty crazy. The numbers show it. From Jalen standpoint. So, man, I do think Stetson could very well get a job, but I think Sirianni would just hire somebody to just kind of do what he tells him to do and still calls the plays. So I don't think it's a big drop off there. I don't mind Gannon. He does give me a heart attack, but I'll tell you what, man, sometimes when I see Slay cover deep, sometimes I understand why he at least tries to eliminate that part of the game and hopefully tries to keep it underneath. Stop the run. He has made changes, right? He improved on the run. You know, look at the gauntlet of running backs that we faced this year. And I think he's answered the bell to most elite running backs that we faced this year. So his problem is not making the adjustments quicker. That's my problem. It's not the adjustment. They just don't happen fast enough.
Yeah, you're never going to win me over on the game. I've watched him and I've watched... he's arrogant, walking around with his shades on. He thinks he's a genius. He's from that school. The reason I think he's going to get one of these head coaching jobs is because he's from that school that everybody loves at Matt LaFleur. All these guys all know each other. These young coaches all came up, Steichen as well. So I think it's likely that they'll both get a job. I think D'Amico will get a job as well. And I think Jim Harbaugh may get the Denver job. He opened interviewed for that today. And for 2 hours. So just some Michigan
Sean
news.
Payton?
Harbaugh may be back in the NFL. Yeah, Sean Payton, they're wanting to interview with him as well. But if that doesn't work out, Harbaugh could be a backup. We don't know. We'll see.
They may fire. I know the Colts are doing, you know, made the play. I'm sorry. The Chargers made the playoffs this year. But I wouldn't be surprised, man, if they try to get the best out of Herbert by picking up Sean Payton. I'll just leave it at that.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. But the thing about, like I said, that it just he can't win me over is that I think the players have made the difference. I think getting Joseph, getting Sue, you know, having those guys out there, the front five that we have is what has made the difference. If they had that front five with Schwartz there with his same zone scheme, the same five would have been able to get disruptive and do what they do. Hargrave has played outstanding. So Reddick has really made a difference. Was it 16 sacks this year, which is unbelievable? So maybe 17. I don't know, but it's an ungodly number for a linebacker. And he, like he said, they would have had 25 if he didn't drop into covers so much. I just don't like when you look at the numbers and the completion percentage he gives to quarterbacks by hanging back and letting them make plays. I can't stand when I see corners, defensive backs standing still in a box formation with the receiver in between. It's too easy. And when we do that with quarterbacks that we're trying to pressure, you're giving them an out. You know, so if to me, I'm not, and I've never said run man exclusively. I'm just saying that that shell zone, there's different types of zone reads that you can do in order to pressure the quarterback and make him throw into a mistake. It's worked some a lot for the Eagles, and it sounds like I'm complaining. It's just I can't stand the time of possession difference and the completion percentage. So I just worry about when we play really good quarterbacks, how he's going to do. I do want to see him go, but again, Fangio is more of the same, so it really doesn't matter. I don't think we're ever going to have an aggressive Jimmy Johnson or Jim Johnson. I want to say Jimmy Johnson, Jim Johnson type head coach or defensive coordinator like we had, or when Buddy Ryan was around as head coach and we had the 46 defense there. I just don't think we're going to see that for a while because the league isn't really doing that. DeMeco is doing something unique. Now, here's the thing. Prediction time. If DeMeco wins a Super Bowl or comes close this year, you watch and see if everybody doesn't change their defensive scheme. Because if nothing the NFL does that is predictable is imitate one another. Is as soon as something works, everybody's going to do it. And the zone defense is become in vogue. And now we've got this aggressive pass rush and playing man, bump and run coverage that DeMeco runs that everybody is going to want if they do well. We'll see. I mean, he's winning with Brock Purdy for crying out loud. You can't convince me Brock Purdy is a 10 quarterback in the league, but yet they're winning convincingly. So that's an issue. So I think that, speaking I think of the playoffs,
Biden, go ahead. No, sorry. Go ahead. Let you roll it in.
I was just going to say, yeah, let's roll into this. Speaking into the playoffs, we've got six games this weekend that we want to discuss as far as what's going on. So speaking of the 49ers, let's talk about them first. Seattle and San Francisco. I mean, I'm in the same mind with a lot of people on this one. It's been nice. Geno, you got in. The Lions helped you out. You beat the Rams on a crazy game with it went into overtime and got the late field goal to win. But I think that the dream is over. The San Francisco defense and their weapons on offense, even if you take Purdy into consideration, are just way too much for the Seattle team, in my opinion, especially in San Francisco. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, man. I think when you surround a guy with not just good, but like elite talent, you got Christian McCaffrey. He's elite. You have Deebo Samuels. He's elite. I mean, this is like top tier talent, you know, like not even just like these are top five guys, man, you know. But I do think there's going to be a moment when Purdy is going to have to, what they call it, wake up. You know, what they call come back to reality. You know, there's a reason why guys kind of sit around here. You know, not everybody's Brady where they come in and can have, we've seen quarterbacks have good moments. We've seen, you know, Mullins come in and have a little moments here. We've seen Minshew have regular season moments. We've seen guys come in. We've seen Heineke, you know, come in to have these moments where they'll put these stretches together and you're just like, man, but then you'll see moments where you'll see why Heineke was in the XFL, if that makes sense, as well too. And then why you go all the way down to a rookie, Howell, and they just can't settle on Heineke, they want him to be the quarterback, but it's just like, man, they see a lot of his flaws. I think in the playoffs, I think it could be the first time where he cost them a game due to his inexperience. This is the playoffs, man. Either he's going to just not wake up until they win the Super Bowl, or there's going to be a moment where he's going to come crashing back down, almost reality, man, and you may be able to get after him, really disrupt. And keep the game close enough to maybe squeak by. I don't think Seattle has a chance. I just wanted to talk about the Niners. I don't think the Seattle has a chance in this game. You're right. It's been nice, but you guys aren't going to win this game. I think it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, I think you're right that the one thing that I will say is that everybody, including myself, is talking up the 49ers. To me, that's a recipe for disaster that eventually when you believe your own hype, and I'm hoping it comes against the Eagles in an NFC championship game where everybody picks the 49ers like they did when everybody picked the Vikings against us at home and the Eagles just rip them a new one. But we'll see. The other game on Saturday night at 8:15. Again, this is another one where it's been nice. It's been fun. But this one could be a little bit closer because Jacksonville won the division. They're playing at home and the Chargers have to go into Jacksonville to win. I think when I watch Jacksonville, I think they play adequate defense, but they've had kind of a weak-ish schedule over the last few weeks to go on this run. And I don't know if they're prepared to face a high-powered passing offense. And the defense is getting relatively healthy. Got Bosa back there for LA. But I do... I think the Jaguars are maybe 1 point favorites or 1 point underdogs. I'm not sure, but it's going to be close. But I think that the Chargers will win this one. What are your thoughts on the Jacksonville Chargers game?
I think with the Mike Williams injury, I think it's a toss up, man. And I actually believe that Doug Peterson's Super Bowl, he's a Super Bowl quality quarterback, Super Bowl champion on that Jacksonville Jaguars sideline. That coach knows what it's like to be the best in the world. I have the Jaguars winning this game, man. I think they have enough. I think they've put it together right on offense. I think their offense is pretty solid. You got Christian Kirk. He had one of the biggest contracts ever over the summer. You have Evan Ingram, who's just come on late in the season. That's just an absolute dog for them. I mean, 7 to 10 catches a game. And then you have Zay Jones doing what he kind of always do. He'll get open, man. He just runs routes and get open. He did it for Buffalo. He did it for the Raiders. He'll just catch you off guard. Sometimes you're like, oh man, all of a sudden Zay Jones. And then you have Marvin Jones Jr. as well too. And then Travis Etienne, he lit it up. That's why they were able to get rid of James Robinson. So I think they have enough where you're so right. That is on the defensive side of the ball where I'm just like, man, but with Keenan Allen being a little older and Mike Williams being hurt, I think if they can stop Eckler, I think Jacksonville wins this game by about 6 or 7 points.
Interesting. Yeah, so I was just looking at it. The Chargers are 1 point favorites on the road, and the 49ers are 9.5 point favorites at home over the Seahawks. Going into Sunday, the first game at 1 o'clock is Miami at Buffalo. I think there's not a lot that needs to be said about this game except for one word, Tua. If Tua plays, Miami has shown when Tua's in there, they can hang with Buffalo. They've already beaten well on the road against Buffalo. He almost beat them in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So this is the rubber match of that series. If Tua plays, this could be a really good game. Right now, the Bills are, as it stands, are 9.5 point favorites at home, which tells me Vegas doesn't think Tua's going to play. Mm-hmm. If they thought Tua was going to play, that line would be somewhere around 5.5, you know, somewhere in there. So that's the big difference for me. I've watched the Dolphins all year because my son's a big fan. They've got Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. They've got Jeff Wilson Jr. running the ball really well. Raheem hanged up, so it looks like he's not going to be able to go in this game. We'll see. They've got some players. Defensively, they've got some guys that can make plays on the defensive side of the ball. But and when we talk about Buffalo, I don't know what's going on with Josh Allen, but he's made quite a few mistakes. That watching that New England game again, threw another pick in the end zone, you know, where they could have gone up. Now, granted, they did blow New England out in the second half, but he kept them in the game with some bad mistakes, and he's can make mistakes when it's in an inopportune time. So that's all I got to say about the Dolphins Bills is Tua plays, they got a shot. Without Tua, watching that kid Thompson from Kansas State, no, I don't think he's going to be the answer. Teddy's got a hurt hand. He's not really shown any type of brilliance. And then you've got, who else did they bring in? I can't remember the other quarterback they brought in. But it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. If Tua doesn't play, this game could look like the national championship game last night, honestly. It could be over real quick. It could be over by halftime. So I have Bills big if Tua doesn't play. Big.
Right. And we just have to keep an eye on it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Oh, for them, they do. I want to see a good playoff game there. The next one is a very intriguing one. We've got the Giants, another NFC East team, one of our longtime rivals, who we just beat on Sunday, but they were resting everyone. And the Vikings, who, you know, they have a good record. I mean, Vikings right now are 13-4. You can't knock 13-4. That's one win away from the Eagles. And the Giants are 9-7. Vikings only 3-point favorites at home, though. A lot of people are looking at this one, if you're going to look at an upset, and saying that this is where it goes. I tell you what, if I'm the Vikings, I'm hearing all of this nonsense and I'm starting to get a little riled up. I think offensively, they're going to try to come out and just throw down the field to Jefferson and Thielen and let Kirk Cousins do what Kirk Cousins does against the Giants defense. I think Dalvin Cook will have a good day. The problem for me on the Viking side is their defense. If you watch them against good teams, their four losses, they've been blown the heck out in those four losses for the most part. They lost to us, to Philadelphia, 24-7. They lost to Dallas, 40-3. They lost to Detroit, 34-23, which it wasn't even that close. And then they lost at Green Bay, 41-17. The rest of their schedule, when you look at who they played, the only team that's a good team on that schedule, really, that they did to, is Buffalo. They beat Buffalo at Buffalo, 33-30. That was probably their best game of the season, if you remember that game. That was early in November, before they played Dallas at Dallas in Thanksgiving and got just shellacked by the Cowboys. So they've really not, I mean, they played the Saints 28-25. Their defense just, it if you want to talk about Gannon soft defense, watch the Vikings against one of these really good passing teams. Mm-hmm. They stand still and just let things happen worse than Gannon's defense does. I think that it's tough. I think the Vikings are capable of winning, but I think the Giants are going to score some points. I think it could very well be a 33-30 game with the Vikings winning with a late field goal, something like that. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of scoring.
The Vikings have shown this year that anybody can beat them. I mean, let's not forget, they had the most improbable comeback in NFL history. 33-0 down to the Colts. The Colts hung 33. Yeah. You're not coming back from the Giants if they hang 33 on you in the first half. And even Vegas have shown disrespect towards the Vikings when they had them as the underdog against the Lions, and they actually lost to the Lions with this impressive record. One thing I will say about the Vikings, to their credit, they've only lost to teams with winning records. So that's nothing to sneeze at. Especially, you know, I can say that because it's the end of the season in Cowboys. Well, I guess except for the Packers. Oh, the Packers finished 8-9. Yeah.
8-9.
My bad. With the exception of the Packers, you know, but it's still a good team. They still beat, you know, a reputable squad. They didn't beat the Texans. They didn't lose to the Texans, I guess, is more of my point. They didn't lose to the Texans. So they've shown they can lose to anybody. They also shown they can beat anybody with beating the Bills. Mm-hmm. But Josh Allen also threw the game away to Peterson at the end. You know, so much mm-hmm. there. It's so much there to unpack. But I'm right with you, man. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants won this. I just think Justin Jefferson is going to be a little bit too much. And the Giants may not have enough to catch up. That's their problem.
Yeah. I think that's where I think it is. I think it's going to be a very close matchup. But I think when I look at this and I hear everybody saying New York, New York, New York, I know what that's like as an Eagles fan, for the media to just constantly downplay you and what that can do to a team's motivation. Mm-hmm. And I think that everybody's going to be expecting the Giants to win because of the Vikings are the quietest playoff team out there. They're the quietest 13-4 team that you ever want to see. And so you know that they're seething. It all depends on how their defense plays. Going into the night game on Sunday, this is an interesting one. Don't know if Lamar Jackson is playing yet or not. Right now, the Bengals are 7-point favorites. They just beat this team, and it would look pretty convincingly. They had a little rough go of it in the second half, but the Bengals at home, a rematch of this past Sunday's game, and we'll see if Lamar plays. I think for me, this is another one that could be within 4 to 5 points, but I think if even if Lamar plays, I think the Bengals at home are going to be a little bit too much for the Ravens. What do you think?
I think if Lamar plays, he's just going to be too rusty to probably like overcome. It'll be more rust than like skill, because you see the drop off when Lamar plays and when he does. I mean, we're talking about a guy that has a great rapport with Andrews. When him and Andrews are clicking, you know, he's on fire. That's why, you know, he led the NFL in passing touchdowns, you know, one season. A lot of people don't really know that. And Lamar led the season, led the year in passing touchdowns. So, you know, when he's clicking with Andrews, man, and they have a solid run game with Dobbins, Drake, they will really, really, really make you pay. And Gus Edwards, they will really make you pay. So I think if Lamar doesn't play, I don't see the Ravens really having a chance, because, you know, the Bengals pretty much did what they wanted to do in that first half against them. And then, you know, just like typical, they're still the Bengals, so they're still going to have a drop off. You know, still something in the air out there. You know, they're still going to have their little quirks because all the money is on their offense. I definitely have the Bengals here. If Lamar doesn't play, I don't even see them having a shot unless somehow they just get ran all over, which I don't really see.
Right. You know, if you look at the early game in October, the Bengals did lose at Baltimore 19-17. But then this past weekend, they won 27-16. It really even wasn't that close. I think it's hard to beat a team 2 weeks in a row, and I will say that. So that plays to the Baltimore Ravens' advantage. But without Lamar, like you said, they don't even have a much of a chance. They have a chance. Everybody has a chance. Everybody does. Even the Seahawks have a chance to win this weekend. We can't say nobody has a chance. I get really tired, by the way, of seeing these guys that do that, because they did that to the Lions this weekend. There were so many people that out there was like, man, with Aaron Rodgers having a chance for the playoffs, and it's the Lions, man. It's the Lions. They're going to come in. That's what they all sounded like to me. They're going to come into Green Bay. And it wasn't just Green Bay fans. It was everybody in the sports media. There's no way that the Lions beat the Packers. There's always a way, dude. I get so tired of media celebrities saying there's no way. We can say that it's improbable, unlikely, most likely that the Bengals are going to win, most likely the 49ers are going to win, but you can't say there's no chance. Everybody has a chance. So that being said, the 88-year-old Tom Brady is in the Monday night game. He's somewhere around there, somewhere in that age. He's about as old as that quarterback for Georgia.
Vampire. Don't get me on the tangent, man. I'll tell you after we get done of my 25-year-old guys in college. It has nothing to do with football, but go on.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about college right now, but that's the joke. Yeah. You know, Brady had already won 3 Super Bowls before he was 25, something like that. Yeah. But anyway, Brady is, of course, who is Brady. It is who he is. They've, like we talked about earlier, they've got a very old team, but they're Mike Evans is up there in years. The whole team. Fournette is out. I don't even know if he's playing this game because he's been out. But Rashard White has turned into a pretty good back for them. But it's the Buccaneers, dude. It's Brady. So Dallas, I tell you what, had Dallas won against Washington and the Eagles had lost against the Giants, and the Eagles were going into Tampa Bay, I'm just saying right now, I would not feel great about this game, especially considering that the Eagles went into Tampa Bay and got beat pretty badly last year.
Right.
However, I do think the Eagles would have won had they had to play in Wild Card Weekend and had to have gone to Tampa Bay. I think they would have won that game, but I'm glad we don't have to find out. I'm glad Dallas does. To me, this game, it comes down to another one word. It comes down to Dak, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, they're going to do everything they can to stop Pollard and Zeke, and they are going to put the game into Dak's hands. If Dak makes mistakes like he did against Washington, he looked completely clueless against Washington. I was watching that game simultaneously with the Eagles, and I don't know how many third downs I saw where he rushed his passes and was overthrowing receivers. That, not to say the interceptions, the pick six, everything. Mm-hmm. It just was not great quarterback play.
Right.
Now, this could be, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, here's the thing. We know that Dak leads the league in interceptions with what Davis Mills, I think, had the most besides him. But he's leading the league in interceptions. I think Dak right now it is, I forget how many, is it 15?
It's the Dak is thrown? That's with missing four games.
Yeah. So it's unbelievable to see what his stats are with missing four games. Exactly. So, yeah, Dak Prescott has 23 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. So I don't want to oversell it. It's not 17. 23 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. He's thrown for 2,800 yards this year. And even he missed a few games. But still, that's not Dak-like numbers. So, it's not something that is just like that Washington was a fluke. That is that we've seen it this year. Like LeSean McCoy said, Dak is ass. And then they asked him to clarify. He said, Dak is ass. Now, I don't want to say that. I will say this. That's LeSean McCoy. That's not me, people. I didn't say that. I will say this. Dak Prescott's a starter in this league. He should be given respect. He does play really well. They've won games. They've won a lot of games this year. So they have won 12 games this year, two less than the Eagles. So you can't discount Dak Prescott's ability to lead this team when he's on, and especially if they get the running game going. I think Dallas wins this by about 10, but I do think it's close until the beginning of the fourth quarter. And I'll tell you why, because I've watched a lot of Cowboys games this year. I don't like to, but I do. And they are very slow starters. And if you do not let them back into games, just look at their games. How many games that they've struggled with opponents until the second half?
Yeah.
They're notoriously slow starters, but then they tend to dominate the second half of games. So I think that's what this will be like. It could be 21-16 at half Dallas, and then Tampa Bay comes out in third quarter, maybe puts up a field goal, 21-19, and then Dallas gets a pick six and just runs, 28-16, mm-hmm. something like that. It's going to be something in those numbers for me, but I do think Dallas gets away with the win. What do you think?
Man, I am leaning more towards Dallas, but my problem with the Cowboys, man, is when you look back at their whole season, I feel like they've squeaked out a lot of wins. You made a good point about even that Colts win, how it was just a 2-point game going into the fourth quarter. Then the wheels fell off. The wheels aren't going to fall off for Tampa. I thought Detroit dominated them when they played them and just made just some untimely errors with fumbles by the goal line and just things like that. The Cowboys are ultra suspect. They have one receiver and that's really it. Everybody else is just kind of, when you have to try to hype up Noah Brown as like your third guy, you're doing really bad. And I'm not saying that Schultz can't make plays. I think if you shade towards Lamb, know that when Zeke is in, he's running, and when Pollard is in, he's catching. The way the long ball has come on later on in the season for Tampa with Mike Evans, you see that combo. I know he's getting old, but you see that combination. The week prior, he scored 3 touchdowns. I mean, my word, it looked easy, too. It looked very easy. So the thing I think is going to get Dallas over is the likes of Micah Parsons and Lawrence. I think if they can get to Brady, they're so young, they can really hurt them, especially Parsons. I think Parsons is going to make it his mission. Because you look at a lot of Parsons' game, they're like boom or bust. Either he gets sacks or he'll like be way down on the stat sheet because he doesn't get a lot of tackles from like running plays and stuff like that. So I do think they're going to squeak it out, but because of their defense, their ability to get to Brady, I think they'll get to Brady or they'll make him force it so early. That's the only time Diggs really looks like a top corner is when the ball is rushed because he makes good breaks on the ball. But if you just have to leave him in coverage on a good throw, he's suspect. So I think if they pressure Brady and make him throw fast because he doesn't want to get hit by Parsons or Lawrence or any of those guys, I'm not sure if Van Der Esch is healthy, but they got guys that can really balance that often. He doesn't have that tight end he can just dump it off to. Rashad White has been doing a lot of that this year for him. So I think the Cowboys can win this game. Yeah, about, same you said, about 10 points. I got the Cowboys by about 10 because they can get to Brady. If they don't get to Brady, I don't see them winning at all.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think it really comes down to Parsons and Lawrence. It does come down to the pass rush overall. I think they will get to Brady. I know the Tampa Bay line is not the greatest right now. They've been banged up. Yeah. I think this is one where Brady will be throwing some tablets on the sidelines because he doesn't like to get touched, and he's going to get touched, and he's going to have to play really well. I don't think he scores a lot in this game. I think, like I said, it does come down to Dallas making mistakes. I think it will be a close game till the second half, and then the Dallas defense will wear them down to the point where they will, you know, overcome. The crazy thing is, though, if Dallas wins and all the other division winners win, if Minnesota beats the Giants, mm-hmm. then the Eagles and the Cowboys will play in the division round the following week to go to the NFC Championship game. So that's very possible in our future. If the Giants beat Minnesota or Seattle beat San Francisco, then we play one of those two teams. So I see one happening. We could end up against the Giants again, which would be crazy. A rematch crazy. Against the Giants in the divisional round.
I looked at that too. I said, man, I think the Giants can beat the Vikings. We may end up with the Giants again. I felt like we could play somebody from our division. How about that in the division?
I think it's very possible. If everybody wins, the division winners, then we got Tampa Bay. So that's our possible, real possibility. I don't want to say that Seattle has no chance. Seattle's a possibility, but our likely opponents are going to be New York, Dallas, or Tampa Bay in that division round. So we just have to look at that. I'm sure they'll be looking at tape on all those teams.
Only put up three on them in the first game of the year. That's the first game of the year out of training camp. They only mustered 3 points against the Buccaneers. That got hurt. Is that the game that got hurt?
He did. That was the game he got hurt. Yeah. And he was not playing well. He was getting booed off the field.
That
was Dallas.
That is true.
He was getting off the field as 9/11. He left, because the fans didn't know he was hurt. Yeah. Yeah,
you're getting booed on 9/11 on America's team. The irony.
But the teams have changed a lot since then. A lot can happen in 18 weeks. So, yeah, I think that they're both in a different place right now. I think Dallas has had a much better season than Tampa, but Tampa's in it, and it's Brady's always Brady. So you never know. I'll be watching all of these games this weekend. I can't wait because. Enjoy the weekend off, which is so nice because I've been stressed all year. Want my Eagles to win each and every week. Nice to have a week change and just watch other teams beat each other senseless and be able, I don't care what happens. Eagles got it 2 weeks. They play in the division. Until then, now we will be back next week to do the preview of whoever the Eagles opponent is, but we will not be back again this week. We've already covered enough of our previews. So, with that being said, we want to thank everybody for tuning into our live stream. Sorry about the choppiness. We're trying to get it worked out. It's been up and down. So, but if you tuned in on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live, thank you so much. If you're one of our regular podcast listeners on Spotify, Amazon Music, or Apple Podcasts, and so many others, thank you as well. If you want to email us with any suggestions or concerns, or you got a good computer guy so I can get a better PC to run the live stream, you can email us at our email address at lee.byrd, that's lee.byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. Eagles, number one seed, NFC East champs, week off, get to wait. And we're happy about it. So with all that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his words of the week.
Sir, man. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by the Word Was There podcast. Hell of a season. Number one seed. Going to enjoy it. And with that said, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We're out.